we see in inspiration. And while we will examine that phrase, among the things that we want to be a takeaway is that we should be careful. We can fall. And one of the central themes that will come out of this lesson is that we should live lives that are repentant lives. We should always be examining ourselves because we can fall. We should live a repentant life. We should always be checking ourselves. And so the lesson will evolve in this way. We will examine ways in which we can fall. We'll look at case studies, so to speak, looking at different situations where we have seen people fall. And then we will transition into recognizing that God has actually given us an assurance. An assurance that we can be kept from falling. And if time permits, we will examine too the fact that if we do fall, we can be restored. And again, we will see the importance of repentance in all of this. So let us start first with 1 Timothy chapter 1. And if we pick up at verse 18, then we will be introduced to Hymenaeus and Alexander. And what we are going to see is that they fell. And let's not miss where I want to go. We are warned about the possibility of falling. We are encouraged to examine. We are encouraged to give heed because we can fall. But it is possible for us to fall and don't even realize that we have fallen. And so we want to examine some cases where persons have fallen and use that as a means to examine, where am I? Am I truly standing? And so in 1 Timothy, pick up at verse 18 of chapter 1.
Verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee,
yes,
son Timothy,
mm-hmm,
according to the prophecies which went before on thee, mm-hmm, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience,
mm-hmm,
which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander.
So here we are told that these two persons, that they were delivered to Satan. If that's not falling, I don't know what is. We can be delivered to Satan. We can fall if we do not give careful heed. But notice, they did not hold the faith. They did not have, like Timothy, a good conscience. Their conscience was bad. And let me pause here a little to highlight that it is important for us to always inform the conscience, to inform the mind. And this is why Bible study is important, because it is easy for us to misinform the intellect, to therefore misinform the conscience, so that even when we are doing wrong, it appears to be right. And so we see this commentary in respect to both Hymenaeus and Alexander, where their faith, inspiration tells us, was shipwrecked. And they were delivered to Satan. Why? they did not hold the faith. And this again registers that it is important for us to hold on to the doctrine of Christ. According to Jude 1 and verse 3, you know, beloved, let us give all diligence. I give all diligence to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. So we can fall when we do not hold on to the faith. So let us always be conscious and alert to the realization that we can't treat the faith any and any way and still consider to be standing. Let us not misguide ourselves. Let us not warp our conscience. Let us not misinform it. Because the body of teaching that we find in the Bible, in the New Testament in particular, we should hold every single thing, recognizing that it is the faith. It is that body of teaching that God Almighty has set out for us as children of God. Let us not water down some things and say that is not so important. So, you know, I hold on to this, but I let go of that. You know, I could go down and list some things. But whatever the doctrine of Christ is, let us never say, well, I don't think that is so important. Once it is in the Bible, once we are seeing it in the gospel of Christ, once we see it recorded in the New Testament guiding the church, let us not treat it with scant regard. When the church goes out of its way to teach and to exhort us, to build us up, to edify us, let us not just treat it and brush it as if it is nothing. We don't want to see brothers here in the worship with their heads covered. We do not want to see, because inspiration has told us from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that the woman should cover her head. Let us not treat that with disregard, because the Bible tells us that in this case, Hymenaeus and Alexander, that they did not hold the faith. Were they doing some things right?
Yes.
But as far as inspiration was concerned, they had a bad conscience. They had somehow seared their conscience so that their teachings that they did not hold on to anymore. You know, you remember how Paul termed it? Shipwrecked faith. That's disaster. You know how Paul termed it? They were delivered to Satan. What are we saying? We have to be careful lest we fall. And it can be a little thing in our minds, but it's a big thing when it's a part of the faith, because it was delivered, and it was delivered once and for all. And we have to be careful how we treat with teachings. Let's look at another case quickly. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 4 through 7, we recognize that persons can fall from the faith in respect to how they treat with the law. Well, pick up at verse 4. Let's read it quickly.
Christ is become of no effect unto you. Mm-hmm. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace.
You know, we don't need to go any further. If we seek to be justified by the law, then we are fallen from grace. I wonder if you start seeing the stretch. Amen. With Hymenaeus and Alexander, you know, it's a faith. All right, well, the law is a part of the faith too. Everything is a part of the doctrine. But here we are seeing that we can be in the church, disregard some part of the faith, and we are deemed fallen.
Amen.
Here we are seeing that if we seek to be justified by the law, then we are fallen. So we are fallen, we are seen by inspiration as fallen if we seek to be justified by the law. What are you saying, Brother Webb? Well, if it is that today you think that circumcision is a necessity from a spiritual perspective, then you are being justified by the law. If today you believe and you are being influenced to think that keeping the Sabbath is important to be justified, then you are fallen. And so what we are seeing is that we cannot accommodate false teaching. As good and nice as our friends in the Adventists are, we cannot join up with them. Because once we do that, we are fallen. We are fallen from grace. You know, step up to verse 1. You're at Galatians 5. Yeah, pick up at verse 1. You know, I said 4 to 7, but jump up to verse 1.
Stand fast, therefore,
mm-hmm.
in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free.
Yes.
And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Amen.
To go back to the law is to go back and entangle ourselves. And I want us to just stretch back our minds, because when I scan the audience, I recognize that we are Christians here. You know, one of the ways that it was Peter, he made reference to us becoming Christians, and then he spoke about us escaping the pollution of the world. And he's saying, you know, if you escape, if you get away from the pollution of this world and again entangle yourself, you know, the end is worse than the beginning. And so let us not get comfortable with any false doctrine. You know, the Adventists would just be one. You know, seeking to just, we can't afford to get ourselves entangled with, whether it be the Jehovah's Witness or the Pentecostals, in their false teaching. Because when we seek to go down this path, then we would have to acknowledge that we are fallen from grace. So, take heed, be warned, lest you fall. Are you giving up on the faith? Are you seeking to be entangled again from that which you were freed? Here's another case I'm stepping through. Because what I want us to do as we go along is to introspect, to consider our own selves. Because we can think we are standing, but we have really fallen. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 to 13, we get another insight into persons who have fallen. Verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 3, 12 and 13.
Take heed, brethren.
Yes.
Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief.
An evil heart of unbelief.
Amen. In departing from the living God.
In departing from the living God. We have to be careful about those unbelieving hearts.
Amen.
Not having faith. I've shifted away from the faith, you know. Not having faith. Not believing in God, in Christ. That's a way that we also fall.
Amen.
Read on.
But exhort one another daily.
Exhort one another daily.
While it is called today.
Yes.
Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
I want you to realize here that this unbelief, this pulling away where we start wondering if we are really, if God is real, if we can depend on him, if we must trust him always, or do I just trust him in certain things, but, you know, when it comes to like our money, boy, I mean, I think God really understand what I'm going, you know, him to realize what is happening with the supermarket thing, and so I rob God. I don't believe that he will be able to pull through for me. So what I rob him. That unbelieving heart. But notice that this unbelieving heart, this heart of unbelief, God calls it evil. That is evil. It refers to it as deceitfulness of sin. So sometimes we pick out some things. You know, I don't kill anybody. It's not me coming to the building and rob it. But sometimes that unbelief, that non-trusting, that not casting all our cares upon God, God is seeing this as a deceitfulness of sin. He's seeing it as evil. And so we are encouraged, praise God, to exhort one another daily. We have to encourage one another. You know, this is an encouraging part of this, because we can fall easily in this way. So we're here, you know, we think we're standing. But when we really look into it, we need that encouragement. We need to be exhorted. We need to be encouraged. Not once a year or once a month, not even weekly. You know, God has sort of set this up where every week we come and we take the communion and we remember Jesus Christ. So it's sort of sent to us. But in respect to encouraging one another, we need that daily. But what are we saying? We can believe that we are standing because, you know, we have not disregarded the faith. You know, that's some other people who have done that. I'm not falling, I can tell myself, because I'm not seeking to be justified by the law. You know, I'm not keep Sabbath. But here it is, that I can be fallen, I can be seen by God as having an evil heart. I can be seen by God as being sinful because of my unbelief. You know, our belief system is something that grows, you know. You put it to test. When you try it, you know, you prove it. God don't expect us to just hold on to things blindly, but as time goes by, we have to build our faith and grow. But let us be conscious that if we grow to the point where we are not trusting and believing in God, then that is us falling. Take heed, lest you fall. Let me quickly share another, you know, I think by the time I just share the case studies, I'll have to stop the lesson and promise that I will finish it another time. Because just going through the various cases, which was just the first of the three legs, all right, I'm not at the third yet. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4 to 10, we are introduced to someone, to Demas. 2 Timothy chapter 4, pick up at verse 4.
And they shall turn away their ears from the truth.
From the truth. That sounds familiar. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
And shall be turned unto fables.
Shall be turned unto fables.
But watch thou in all things. Mm-hmm. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Mm-hmm. Make full proof of this mystery.
Yes.
Of this ministry. Mm-hmm. For I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand.
Yeah, read on.
Mm-hmm. I have fought a good fight.
Yes.
I have finished my course.
Yes.
I have kept the faith. Mm-hmm. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
Okay, you're at verse 8. Read on.
Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me.
So we are introduced to Demas. Here are some things we were hearing about Paul. You know, he has done well, but and he's encouraging Timothy to do the same. But then he introduces us to Demas. And he says, for Demas has forsaken me. Amen. All right? We cannot afford to forsake the teachings of the apostles. We can't afford that. That is paramount or equivalent to us giving up the faith. We saw that earlier. But the commentary in respect to Demas went further because he had forsaken the work of the ministry. Read on.
For Demas hath forsaken me.
Yes.
Having loved this present world.
This present world.
Amen.
Are you getting it? Beyond falling because you have given up the faith, beyond falling because you're holding on to the law, beyond falling because you have an unbelieving heart that God sees as sinful, we are now getting an insight from inspiration that is telling us that we can fall if we allow love for the present world to have our priority. Read it again. For Demas
hath forsaken me,
having loved this present world.
Amen.
Nothing is wrong with enjoying life. But we have to make sure that we have our priorities right. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first. It's an issue of priority. You know, how the verse start? Verse 33 of Matthew 6.
But
you see what's happening there? You know, if we had jumped up to verse 31 or 32, 31, it talks about concern about what you eat, amen, what you drink, amen, what you wear. Amen. You know, these are concerns we must have. Must we eat? Yes. Must we drink? Yes. Should we be clothed? Yes. But verse 33 says, but seek ye first. So it's an issue of priority. And so what we are seeing is that Demas loved this present world more than he loved the work of the ministry. We have to watch for that. The extent to which we love this world too much can bring us and lead us to a state where we are deemed fallen. Amen. You know, read verse 7 for me again. You had read it earlier.
I have fought a good
Paul
fight.
Paul, in commentating about himself, says, I have fought a good fight.
I have finished my course.
I have finished my course.
I have kept the faith.
I have kept the faith. Amen. When we love the world too much, when we give that the higher priority, then we are going to find that we do not keep the faith. We will not finish the course. There is no crown of righteousness that awaits us, as Paul would have commented in respect to himself. And so I'm putting it to us that we can think we are standing, we can think we are okay, but because we have our priority wrong, then we are truly fallen. We will not finish the course. You know, how many times, and you know, we had championships recently, how many, especially the hurdlers, how many times they run, they don't finish because they hit a hurdle and they drop. So we have to be careful how we go through our Christian journey. You know, time won't allow me to emphasize the fact that we are multifaceted. And God recognizes this, and he wishes for us prosperity in our health, in our social life, in our spiritual life. But then we have to recognize in all of that, that our priority needs always to be our soul. We should not love this present world so much that we forsake the teachings of Christ, the ways of Christ, and what he has dictated for us. The last case that I will look at, Hebrews chapter 10. And if we pick up at verse 24, you know, I want to call this wavering Christians. You know, like, you know, sometime before you fall, you wobble. I trying to make the link between the wobble and the wavering. All right, pick up at verse 23, actually. Verse 23.
Verse 23?
Yes.
Let us hold fast the profession of our faith.
Let us hold fast. You know, even though I've made an attempt to sort of dissect the falling, you know, the truth of the matter is, every time we fall, it's really a departure from the faith. You know, you know, this is really my attempt to sort of just dissect it out some. But everything comes back to the faith. Everything. But start again, verse 23.
Let us hold fast the profession of our faith.
The profession of our faith.
Without wavering.
Without wavering. No wobble. And so we can be Christians, but we can be wavering Christians.
Amen.
And I'm putting it to us that as wavering Christians, we are really falling. Read on.
For he is faithful that promised.
Yes.
And let us consider one another.
Consider one another. I thought I like this again. It's sort of similar to what we said. We exhort one another daily. Read on.
To provoke unto love.
Provoke unto love.
And to good works.
And to good work. And every provocation is bad. When we seek out each other and encourage one another to be in worship, to show greater commitment, good provocation. Don't be bashful about it. Good thing. Yes, read on.
not forsaking,
not forsaking
the assembling of ourselves,
the assembling of ourselves together. You know this message is not so fitting for Sunday night. Yeah, because there are some persons believe it's only Sunday morning they must come out, you know. Well, here's the point. What is the point again? Here's the point. It's not forget. Use a Bromwichite. It's not forget or forget. The point is that we can think we are standing, but the way we treat worship, the way we treat our coming together, the way we treat the opportunity to come and sing and encourage one another, the way we treat the opportunity to come and pray for the affliction of one another, the way we fail to come and commemorate the Lord on the first day of the week is an indication that we are falling. I feel close to God, so I tell myself. But what is it? What is it that is causing me not to want to come out to worship God, to fellowship with the brethren? We have to recognize that something is off when I do not have an appetite. We have to recognize that something is misplaced when, well, let me just say it this way. We need to recognize when we need help. We need to recognize when we need to go and check the doctor. We don't know what's wrong with us, but we just know that something is off. I don't have a yearning to be among Christians. How can that be? Something must be wrong, because I am doing this journey through life so that when I go to heaven, I can be with the family of God. So something wrong. So if we are wavering Christians, when we are forsaking the assembling of ourselves, then we are really falling. I stop you quick, not you. Continue reading. Not forsaking
mm-hmm. the assembling of ourselves together.
Yes.
As the manner of some is.
Some people have that as a practice. But you don't pick up that practice. Don't let anybody tell you not to come out Sunday night.
Amen.
All right? You're here tonight, right? Don't make anybody not look upon the bad practice and say, but some people don't come out, so I'm not worried come out. I'm young people, I'm a scan, I'm a can't see many young people, so me I gotta stop too. No. That's a practice of some, but you must not do so. Not forsaking.
As the manner of some is.
All right.
But exhorting one another.
The exhorting comes again. You notice how us not falling sort of ties in and locks in to us encouraging one another. So we don't want to catch by one side and another say, seem they are fall. That ought not to be our attitude. It should be of such that we are encouraging one another. Read.
But exhorting one another.
Yes.
And so much the more.
Yes.
As ye see the day approaching.
Read on.
For if we sin willfully.
Say what?
For if we sin willfully.
No, man, you need another translation. If we sin, you mean forsaking the assembling is sinning? Yes. The Bible spell it out that clearly. So when we forsake the assembly, when we fail to be here, when the church is meeting, then we are sinning. We are falling. I have some news for you. I reach a third of my lesson. So, what have we learned? We have learned that we have to give careful heed lest we fall. We are recognizing that the way we see falling is a range and a stretch of things. So we need not get show off and proud and exalted because me not keep Sabbath, so I'm not falling. But the way we deal with the teachings, the way and the extent to which we trust God, that believing or unbelieving heart, the way I treat with the world and the priority I give to it, or the lack of priority that I give spiritual things is an indication. The way I treat worship and fellowship, these are all ways that we fall. When we come back to this lesson, God's willing, we will examine the fact that God has sort of given us a recipe of sorts that tells us in Jude 1:24 that we can be kept from falling. And we will also examine that even though we can be kept from falling, we are not always so fortunate. Because we have a devil. We have Lucifer out there. And he might go trip us up. Some of them hurdles there, we are going to lick it. And we are going to chip up. But the third part of the lesson, we'll examine the fact that even when we fall, we can be restored. And we look at some case studies in a similar fashion and see that though we are tripped up, though we buck with toe, though we fall down, we can pick up back. We can be restored. You know, but if we are to take the essence of what we discussed tonight, we need to examine ourselves because we can fall. And let us recognize that we can fall in different ways. And because I'm not falling in this way, don't mean that I need to get all show off, because devil on the other side are trying to get us in another way. And let us encourage one another daily. Give us a call. Pray for one another. You know, give a kind word. Because you never know that just that one little encouraging thing will carry us a far way. We invite the song leader to come with a song of encouragement. What's the number? 293.